This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Because of the
they didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a Doug and Danny Show today with a lot of content. It just doesn't have a Daddy, and it doesn't have a Derek. But it does have a Chris Baznett, sports writer for the Kearney Hub, filling in today. Baz, what's up, man?
That's a small consolation for your listeners, I'm sure, but I'll do what I can.
Well, see, what I've done in lieu of, A, Tony being gone, you being here, was get a lot of guests. So, you know, we don't have to talk a whole lot. Coming up, Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's coach. They're getting ready to head north to Sioux City for the NAIA National Tournament. And they're going to, I mean, the feeling is they're going to play the toughest first round opponent they've probably had, maybe ever, maybe since they started going to the tournament. And there's a couple reasons for that. A, their record didn't get them seeded one or two in their bracket. So obviously, with a five seed, they're going to play somebody pretty equal, 15th ranked College of Idaho. There's 32 teams there, and 25 are, you know, ranked in the, and so you expect if you're not a one or two, you're probably going to get a ranked opponent in the first round. So it's not going to be easy. Also, we'll catch up with Silver Lake coach Keith Crow after a great, great weekend for the Lady Mustangs, state runner up in D1. We're also scheduled to catch up with Dave Morachik, the boys basketball coach at Minden, as they get ready to go back to state. And if we've got time, Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, to preview the boys' state tournament. But Baz, a lot going on as we recap girls, get ready for guys, and then you've got the college and the NBA, and there was a great game in the NBA last night with Dwayne Wade winning it in double overtime for the Heat.
Dwayne Wade, the man, hitting that three-pointer at the end, missing a layup at the end of the first overtime. Everybody kind of forgets that would have won the game, but, you know, he's the man. He's Dwayne Wade. What do you say? Has 48 points, 12 assists, 6. It's a typical town team game for me, so I know what that feels like. But, you know, for Dwayne Wade, he's been doing that for about the last 2 weeks now. It's been a pretty incredible run.
What, you shot that many times?
Or what? Took 48 shots, yeah.
Well, and, you know, it got me to thinking a little bit here in the last 15 seconds. That's the only way we talk about the NBA in this part of the country. And I think it's the only way a lot of people talk about the NBA, even on the national scene. If you're not New York and follow the Knicks, if you're not L.A. and follow the Lakers, maybe Chicago with the Bulls in your local. It's not much of a national topic. It will be a topic today because is Dwayne Wade the MVP? And that's already the, you know, who's the MVP? You see that as their ESPN poll question. LeBron, Kobe, Dwayne, and then when somebody has a great night, they talk about that again. But I guess that just shows you, nobody's really watching the NBA. They love seeing this. They love maybe being somewhere and catching the end of this game. Nobody's sitting down to watch the second quarter of an NBA game.
Yeah, and, you know, the NBA is an individual sport, and it kind of always has been. Like you said, we talk about what Dwayne Wade did last night. We talk about what Kobe did. You know, we talk about what LeBron may have done. We don't talk about what the Cavaliers did, that the Heat got a win, that the Lakers got a win. We talk about what this player did, what this player did, what this player did. And it's maybe tougher to latch on to one to a player than it is to maybe a team. That's maybe why you don't see, especially around here, you don't see people really following the NBA that much.
Well, coming up, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia as well, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's. So stay with us for that. But I kind of, before we get into Coach Dittman joining us here in just a couple of minutes from Hastings College, because they're going to have to get on the road and head north, you were down, you're a Ravenna native, you're a Ravenna grad, and this is a great time for that city. But I think we're also starting to see some other schools in your coverage area, our coverage area, that have a chance to go down there and do some things. What's more exciting? I've been around the business longer than you. What's more exciting as I hearken back to youth? Is it covering the team that is consistently there? And I think we can throw Ravenna into, we're used to watching the Omaha World Herald always talk to Columbus SCOTUS and Falls City Sacred Heart and whoever else you want to go. Is it more satisfying to cover the Ravennas, or do you like getting a piece of Arapahoe, who's going down as a number one seed? Litchfield is going down as a boys team. Some of the guys that are going down and kind of new to the whole deal.
Well, obviously, as a Ravenna native, I like covering Ravenna because that means they're down there. But, you know, like you said, I like covering the new teams, even sweeping Silver Lake girls this week and making a run to the finals. You know, that's a great story. They're a team that doesn't get there that often. When they do get there, they don't often get to the finals. Like you said, Arapahoe. I think Arapahoe's a team that a lot of people in Lincoln, a lot of people east of Grand Island are going, who the heck are these guys? And as someone who's been able to watch them a few times this year, you know, they're a heck of a team. They got a couple pretty good players. Same with Litchfield. They're a really good team. I think they can give Hayes Center a run. And it's exciting for a guy that gets to see those teams, and you kind of know this. It's exciting for a guy that gets to see those teams on a regular basis. It's exciting to watch them in Lincoln and see new people see them and see what they're about and see that they are good teams. So, you know, I do like covering those new teams down there.
We talked about this with Ron Powell, and I know talking with you from the Lincoln Journal-Star yesterday and whoever you talk to, you guys will be getting ready to put together your Hub Territory Player of the Year for girls basketball, mm-hmm. boys basketball, wrestling, and mm-hmm. all of that. Have you made the girls selection? I know you won't make the. You may know who you want for the boys, but you want to see state, and the girls selection will be interesting. But I guess the point is, how much of that when you just say, "Oh yeah, she's automatically first team because she's going D1 or around here, she's going to UNK, she's going to UNO, Wayne, something like that."
You know, a lot of it, and we were just talking about this last night at work, and we were kind of laughing about it because we really have no idea who our girls player of the year is going to be. We have no idea who our boys player of the year is going to be, and it can come down to maybe how a team does in the state tournament. Does that player step up in the postseason? You know, lead them through districts, lead them to a state final, to a state semifinal, that sort of thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you should take the best player on the best team. Well, you can't always do that. Take Ravana, for instance, this year. Probably the best team around here, but who do you take off of that team as maybe a player of the year? Then you have to throw in Kearney High in there, who's our only Class A school. You know, do you take somebody off there? Because they're obviously going to have good athletes, better athletes than a lot of the smaller schools. It's a tough decision, I guess. And this year it's even more difficult because we haven't had one player that's really, you know, stood out from the past few years, like especially in boys, you had Drake Baronic for a few years.
Somebody that's averaging 20 and 10.
Yeah, somebody, you know, that's putting up 25 points a game, something like that. You have a lot of girls that are obviously good players. You know, Katie Sokolowski is a heck of a player from Kearney Catholic. The ARP gal from Kearney High, very good player. You know, you have a lot of players that average 17 points a game, 19 points a game, somewhere in there. But, you know, who do you pick out of that group? It's a tough call.
And it's hard when you say, well, she's playing for Pleasanton in D2. She wouldn't even see the floor for Holdridge or Kearney High.
Yeah.
Ravenna was placed 10th in the all-class top 10 by the Omaha World Herald. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts.
I was surprised to see that. I can't say I'm blown away by it. I was surprised by it. But you look at their schedule. They beat Adams Central handily twice. Adams Central beat Holdridge once. Took Alliance to overtime. Probably should have beat them. A Class B state semifinal team. I think it's legitimate. I think if you saw Ravenna play down at state in the first round and in the finals, you'd say, well, there's no way they're hanging with those Class A teams. But then you watch them in the semifinals drill Cambridge and go, you know what? They're pretty good, you know. It's all arbitrary. We know that, you know. I think they're a deserving team. I was surprised to see it, but not, I guess, I'm not shocked to see it.
And I think it means more for Ravenna to be ranked 10th than just a straight Class A Grand Island being ranked number 10 in all that. Keith Crowe going to join us from Silver Lake here in just a moment to kind of recap the girls, and we'll get into Jeff Dittman and then kind of transcend over to the boys. But we get ready for the boys tournament to wrap up and the girls tournament. We talk a lot about Ravenna and winning and Silver Lake. Was there another thing that maybe stuck out? Pleasant got third. Minden made a decent showing. Mm-hmm. Holdridge, we maybe didn't talk enough about them.
You know, Holdridge, I think, you know, they just got a tough draw. They happened to get into Class B, which happened to be one of the most balanced brackets, I think, down there. And I watched them play South Sioux City, and their defensive pressure, even though they gave up 62 points, it was overwhelming to South Sioux City at times. They forced 40 turnovers in that first game.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody around here is really sad to hear that. But they're a good team. They play their tails off. They play as hard as any girls team and play harder than a lot of boys teams I saw this year. They get up in your face and they defend. You know, they had a couple shooting problems down there, which maybe hurt them winning a couple of those games, but they could compete with every team down there. And I think if they're in a different class, I think they win it pretty easily.
Doug and Daddy's show, Chris Basnett from the Kearney Hub filling in for the big fella today. You take a look at that Holdridge team. I know Northwest started to make a little move, and Adams Central is good, but it's easier maybe for a team. I mean, some team could take that district over and dominate it because it has not been dominated, and Holdridge really is getting that opportunity to do that right now.
Yeah, they've won the district. I think it's 5 years in a row, 6 years in a row now, and that's just because they've had a couple of good classes come through there. And like you said, especially out here, you know, you don't have the competition. You know, you have a Northwest that kind of came up late this year, like you said, in Adams Central. But if you can get a couple of good classes to come through there like Holdridge has, yeah, you can take over a district like that, and that's what they've done. And they've been able to get down to Lincoln. They've been able to have some success down there. It's not like they're winning a bad district and going down and getting beat by 30 points every year. They're going down. They're winning a first-round game. They're competing in the second round. So it shows that they are a good team, and they're a legitimate team to come out of that district.
Well, we've been recapping the girls' state tournament while previewing the boys' state tournament here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And one of the stories that was maybe the best story outside of Ravenna winning a state championship was the run that the Silver Lake Mustangs put on, giving themselves a chance to win the D1 state championship. We're pleased to be joined by the head coach, Keith Crow. And Coach, I guess now that you've had a couple of days to let everything settle in from this run at the state tournament, what has stuck out now in your memory as you've had a couple of days?
Oh, I tell you, it was just a great weekend, Doug. I'm just still so proud of my girls, and the effort that they gave was just phenomenal. All of them is what really impressed me. We went into the Devaney Center, and being the first time there, you know, you think you're going to be a little awestruck, and I was just so impressed with my girls, how they handled the pressure, you know, in each and every game.
I guess you see this so many times, too, that the confidence continues to build. I know this team was so focused on Deschler in the first round because they knew it was going to take everything. And by the time you got to Saturday, I guess maybe these girls didn't even realize it was a state final.
I think that might have been part of it, too. That first game with Deschler was such a great game going into the two overtimes, and Cammy Bruckman had such a great tournament. She just really took over the game in the final minutes of it to help seal the win. And then, you know, but all my girls, each one of them stepped up at different times in the finals and in the semifinals. You know, Caitlin Bruckman had some free throws and a big three against Elkhorn Valley. Jamie Shaw had some very good baskets in the finals. McKenzie, you know, Shelby, all the girls, Kayla Tim, they just all played so well. And Bailey Morris had a great game in the first half at Devaney. So it was a really exciting time.
Silver Lake Coach Keith Crow is joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Keith, when everything that you go through is new, and I know that you've been to state before, but these girls and getting to the semis and getting to the finals, it's kind of hard to soak it all in just 3 days.
It really is. I'm still soaking it in, I think. It's gonna take a while for it to all set in and you realize the accomplishments that the girls did, and it will take a few days.
What are you thinking when you go into the halftime locker room of the state final and you're up five on the number one team in the state?
Well, my assistant coach, Shannon Love, and he says, do you know what we're shooting for a percentage? And I said, don't tell me. I said, I don't want to know. But I knew we were shooting very well. And we talked before we went out on the floor that, you know, I'd kind of read in some things that a lot of people felt like the state championship game was the night before when Humphrey had played Bancroft Rosalie. And we were kind of in the underdog role, and I told the girls, let's embrace that and let's get after it.
You talk about how well you shot, and it was pretty evident that during the TV interviews, the Bancroft Rosalie coach said at halftime, "We just got to shoot better, and they're shooting hot." You know, he knew that if things kept up, there wasn't anything that they were going to be able to do to stop you anyway. Was there some changes made at halftime either way?
Oh, not so much on our part. You know, they changed their defense a little bit. We were trying to maybe get the ball inside a little bit too much. I was kind of encouraging the girls to keep shooting outside. So there wasn't a whole lot of changes. We tried to increase our pressure on them, and to their credit, you know, they handled the pressure very well, but they've got a very experienced group of girls. Our whole game plan was to try to have the number 13 shoot, you know, and play off from her and double up on the post because they had such a big size advantage to us. And she had a really great game. She stepped up and hit some threes. We had to go out and guard her then, and then they could get the ball inside more.
Keith, what were some of the words you told the kids afterwards that you hope will stick with them as they go into the off season, and for some as they go on to things outside of high school?
Just how proud I was of the girls and what they'd accomplished down there. You know, for us coming in and playing that first round game with the double overtime, as I said, and then the second game being such a great game against Elkhorn Valley, just the tremendous accomplishment and how much pride I had. Because you think of how much basketball we played down there and how hard each game was for us to give that kind of effort every time on the floor was just great.
Well, now you go into the off season, and you're going to want to try and get back there. Once you get a taste of it, the hunger's really there. This group has some kids coming back.
Oh, I definitely. And I hope that they got that hunger, and I know that they do. With, you know, a couple guards of Bailey Morris and Cammy Bruckman coming back, and then with Shelby Ruprecht at the post and Kayla Tim at a forward, and we've got a couple other girls that I know are ready to step up, and Chloe Gibson and Jenna Grable, and then the rest of the girls. I think it was a great experience for all of them. I know it'll do nothing but do good things for us this summer and with their work ethic, and I've never had to worry about that. My girls have always worked hard. They've always given me tremendous effort. It's kind of bittersweet letting the seniors go, but as I told those girls, I said, what better way can you have than to play your final game at the Devaney Center? You know, that's only few teams can ever say that they've done that. They ended their career on the Devaney floor. So very proud of those girls for all their leadership and all the hard work that they gave me.
Well, I know some of the coaches in the conference are just wondering how many of those kids could be graduating for you, because it was a great year, a great conference, some great games. The rivalry with Deschler helped the whole thing out as well. And Keith, it was fun watching the ladies play. It was a fun group of basketball games to watch, high scoring, and even in the Elkhorn Valley, 38-37, you guys showed that you could play up-tempo or defensive basketball. So great job for you and your kids, and hopefully we can do this all again when November and December roll around next year.
Oh, I'd love that. And I'd just like to say thank you, Doug, for all your coverage and that. And I'd really like to thank a lot of our fans and our people that come to our games and the well wishes and stuff. The support that we had was just tremendous. It was a great experience and a great time.
Well, the maroon always stands out. There's no doubt about it. Keith, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations once again, and thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Keith Crow, head basketball coach at Silver Lake. You know, first time's always exciting.
Especially when you make it to the finals. You're right.
Well, you know, to do it the way they did it. Mm-hmm. Double overtime, 3 seconds. It was a deep three away from going to triple overtime. Mm-hmm. Last game of the night, I joked with Mike Will, you know, if you got that 8:45 or 9 o'clock game, which probably doesn't start on time anyway, and you're going to hell with it. Let's play. Let's keep playing.
Let's play six.
It's going to be midnight anyway. Let's make it epic. And you know, it was a heck of a double overtime. And then to fall behind, you know, you think, well, nice game last night. You're down 10. Elkhorn Valley, 2 seed, nighty night. You know, go get ready for that cut. Consolation game, and then to come back, win it, and be ahead of Bancroft Rosalie. I think that shows how good Bancroft was, though. They didn't seem to get rattled by the whole
thing. No, and it was kind of the same situation for Bancroft that they were in last year when they played Lawrence Nelson, you know, being down, I believe it was 10 at halftime and coming back. So you're right. That's a good team that Bancroft Rosalie had, and Silver Lake has no shame in finishing second place. They made a great run.
Don't forget, you can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Troutman's Tuesday trivia right now. Right now, people.
Right now.
1-888-455-ESPN. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 1-888-455-ESPN. Here is the trivia question. We started the show talking a little NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to tell who's the best team in the NBA.
Yeah,
the Lakers.
Yeah.
Who's the worst? Who's the worst team in the National Basketball Association percentage-wise in wins? With 14. 1-888-455-ESPN. We'll be back with more, including Jeff Dittman of Hastings College, after this.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
Right now, Kearney Yamaha invites you to get out. Get out and ride, that is, at the Kearney Yamaha Get Out and Ride event. That's right, you can save big money on super tough Grizzly utility ATVs. The 700cc Grizzly comes with fuel injection, water-cooled, fully automatic transmission, along with push-button four-wheel drive and power steering. Or maybe you want to go smaller with the 450 Grizzly. It has the same features and comes with high-low range and independent suspension. No matter what size of utility ATV you're looking for, the Yamaha Grizzly line of ATVs has the perfect machine for you. And right now, during the Get Out and Ride event, all ATVs are priced right to move.
This is Dusty at Kearney Yamaha, and we have every model of Yamaha Grizzly ATV in stock and priced to move. Stop by Kearney Yamaha today or check us out on the web at KearneyYamaha.com.
Don't forget, Kearney Yamaha has changed their hours for the season. Now open until 6 weeknights, noon to 5 on Sundays. Years of experience and huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, just south of the Kearney I-80.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Marketing is everything that touches your customer. Working as a contracted marketing team, Apex Advertising will use tested and proven marketing strategies to reach your business goals. We will save you time and money while increasing your marketing confidence and success. Call today for your free customized plan. Call 308-698-1185. Apex Advertising of Kearney, 698-1185. Increasing marketing results, not budgets.
Hello, I'm Arlen Gangwish, owner of Laser Tech of Nebraska. With the changing opportunities in document technology, Xerox and HP have enabled us to bring to you the most cutting-edge solutions available. We pride ourselves in putting the customer first, no matter what the need. Being a Xerox and an HP business partner, we have all the resources to bring you big savings. Give us a call and let us begin showing you the money.
Hi, I'm Jeff Benjamin of Benjamin's Landscaping in Holdridge and Kearney. I understand that money is tight for everyone, so we want to help you by lowering our 2009 lawn care prices. We can treat a 6,500 square foot lawn for just under $200, and this includes grub control. That's right, we will treat your lawn four times throughout the season for less than $200. Give us a call today and we will give you a free estimate. Keeping your lawn beautiful is our business. We're Benjamin's Landscaping in Holdridge and Kearney.
When it's an occasion that matters, call the event specialists at Country Catering. Delicious, beautifully presented food, professionally served. From black tie formal affairs to a simple picnic party, we'll work with you to make your event a wonderful memory. Create your own menu for a sit-down dinner or assemble an appetizer buffet line. We can serve any group from 25 to 1500. Country Catering promises to make your special day the best it can be. For your next event, call Country Catering of Litchfield or go to www.countrycatering.net. We cater to you.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Chris Basnett of the Kearney Hub filling in for the Big Daddy today. Who's at school?
I'm sure the teachers have already put him in detention.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not the first time he felt this way going to school. But anyway, that's where he's at. He'll be back sometime. I don't know. Hey, we do have a winner for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Talking about the worst team in the National Basketball Association. Everybody was guessing the Oklahoma City Thunder right off the get-go. You know what? They're bad, but there are actually four teams worse than them percentage-wise. The Thunder have won 17 games.
Making a run, the Thunder.
Memphis has won 16. The Clippers and Washington have each won 15. The worst team, probably the team that used to be the most fun to watch. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings are 14-49. That's 22%.
Oh, from Kings to Poppers.
That's not good. Steve and Kearney knew it, though. Big Red coming through, knowing Big Purple was horrible.
They need to bring back Vlade Divac.
I have no idea why Steve would know things that aren't good.
It's just shocking.
He's got an act. By the way, yeah, that is Billy Joel in the background. Derek will never play Billy Joel, so there it is. Keep it going as long as you
can.
That's
right, buddy.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us to the Doug and Daddy Show. And the Dent Popper inbox, home of the Arma Lining. And, of course, with the weather the way it is out there, you might slide into a pole, slide into somebody else. You never know what's going to happen.
I slid into your car, by the way, when I pulled into the parking lot today.
I'm going to the Dent Popper, people. That's all there is to it. Dent Popper on the bricks. Get your free estimate if needed in the downtown Kearney Center. Well, somewhat breaking news. We're starting to get to that point where all region and all that kind of stuff comes out. Well, the Women's Basketball Coaches Association have announced their finalists for All-American teams, and UNK's Jade Meads is all region. That's all region 7. The Meads, the senior out of Elm Creek. You know what? What an outstanding career. One of the greatest players. I don't think she's getting as much pub as she deserves.
Yeah.
And maybe that will come if the women can advance through the NCAA tournament. She was the RMAC Player of the Year. Yes, I know. Maybe that's enough. But RMAC Player of the Year and sat out a month.
Yeah.
because of injury. Also, Lindsay Anderson, the Hastings or Holdridge young lady, who is a senior at Doan, is one of the finalists in the NAIA ranks. So that coming out today.
Also, another player that's had a heck of a career, even going back to high school, Lindsay Anderson, has had a great career at Doan. Started since she was a freshman, school's scoring champion of all time. Really done a lot of nice things for the Tigers.
And of course, Hastings would have liked to have her.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
They're getting ready to head to the NAIA National Tournament. Tough game, Heather McEwen from Ravenna. A lot of local kids, you see them, but even more maybe at Hastings College from right around this Tri-City area, as always.
Yeah, as always, like you said, that's kind of how they recruit. They want the best players that they can get from the area, because obviously they're probably on a limited recruiting budget. They can't go out to, Colorado or, wherever, the inner cities of Chicago or New York and get the ballers like a lot of schools can. So they have to get those local kids, and they've gotten some good ones.
Well, the NAIA Division II National Tournament gets underway tomorrow, and we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show the head coach at Hastings College in his first year, Jeff Dittman, who hopes to get into that second round. Important game, of course, always. But, Coach, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. And how confident were you that your team was going to get in as you had to take an at-large berth?
Well, last couple of years, the at-large bids went all the way down to 27, and last year, I believe, 29. So as I was watching the tournaments unfold, the conference tournaments across the country, there really was only one upset with number 4 Taylor beating number 1 out of Indiana in their conference. So I felt pretty comfortable, barring something really odd happening, that we were going to not only get an at-large bid, but get a fairly decent at-large bid.
What is the team? You always have to keep practicing and keep in shape and keep ready to go here in this kind of this downtime. What have you been doing since the conference tournament came to an end for you?
Well, the biggest thing is just to continue to try and improve in some areas. We've made a lot of progress with our defense. At the start of the conference season, we were about 7th in the conference, and we finished the year 1st in the conference. And I think when you look at the quality of teams in the GPAC, especially the offensive potential, that's quite a step forward. And so I like how far we've come defensively, and obviously if you're going to have a shot at doing well in the national tournament, you have to be able to stop people. The second thing is that we're not a particularly tall team a lot of times, and we've had some difficulties at times in the season rebounding. So we continue to work on that, and our first-round opponent is actually 6th in the country in offensive rebounding, so that's an important challenge for us there. So, it's just the little things. You just stay after it. We tried to make the practices a little shorter, keep things brisk and moving, and then we've watched a lot of film.
Jeff Dittman, the head coach of the Hastings College Women, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, let's talk about the College of Idaho. A lot has been made here in the media that this will be the toughest opponent that Hastings College has faced in the first round, maybe ever. Part of that because you're not going in as a top 5 team in the country, but also part of that because College of Idaho is a solid team. What concerns you besides that offensive rebounding?
Well, they do a couple of things awfully well, and I think their offense comes in 3 parts. The first is transition. They get out, and they run the floor well, have great spacing in it, and they love to pull up and shoot the 3 off of the transition. So, we have to be disciplined. We have to run to our man quickly and not run to the paint and work our way out, because by that time they will have already shot the 3 on us. The second phase of it is that they really attack. They have one primarily 3-point shooter, and then everybody else is going to put the ball on the floor and really attack us. So we've got to have good footwork, we've got to have good spacing, and we've got to make sure that we don't foul, because they're a team that gets to the free throw line quite a bit. And then the third part is that offensive rebounding, and we just got to make sure we put a body on people. So that's going to be the 3 components to trying to shut down their offense that averages 75 points. On the defensive end, they're pretty aggressive. They'll run a number of things at you, from a matchup zone to a man to 3 different types of presses. And so it's just on the offensive end, we've got to keep our composure and be a little patient, make them work a little bit on defense and find the opening.
Well, you look, you kind of do some studying, and I guess one thing we've always talked about when we talk with Hastings or UNK, you just don't know that much about some of these teams because it's not as familiar to the fans, but the conference is the Cascade Conference. They have the player of the year in Christian Vander Esch. She averages about 16 points, 9 boards a game, and Nicole Gall, also all defensive team. How tough is this conference? Are those accolades well-deserved?
Well, I think the Cascade Conference is an outstanding conference, particularly this year. Now, I know they haven't had a great record in the national tournament, but, you know, a lot of times they've come in as a seven seed, and so they've played an extremely good opponent in the first round. This year they're going to come in as the higher seed in our bracket, and I like their athleticism. I think they do some things really well. And now, that being said, I think the GPAC does a great job of preparing a team for the national tournament. And I think that's always been one of the keys to the success of the GPAC schools in the national tournament, is that by the time they fight their way through the 18-game GPAC conference schedule, I don't think you run into anything that surprises you. I don't think you'll run into teams that have better athleticism, those types of things. So, our 30-game schedule gets us well-prepared for the national tournament.
Jeff Dittman, head coach at Hastings College, joins us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, I guess big picture now, you want to get out of that first round in advance. Most likely you'll take on undefeated Shawnee State in the second round. But big picture, it always seems to be the GPAC conference has two or more teams when we get to the Final Four. How's the tournament look this year?
Well, I think, barring something really strange happening, Morningside is definitely going to be a Final Four team. This is a team that has not only been a great team, but they've been extremely consistent all year long. And maybe their difference this year than in the past is they're not quite as reliant upon the three-point shooting, which, you know, on any given night can leave you and you end up struggling that night. I think Northwestern has, while they're a young team, I think they're extremely good. They have two guards that are extremely good, and they're going to keep them in ball games. So there's a potential Final Four team there as well. Then I think you look at Mount Marty, Concordia, and Hastings, and you can say there's three teams that over the course of the year have done extremely well in non-conference play. For instance, we were 10-0 in non-conference play with a win over Ozarks. We've got a win over Jamestown at the beginning of the year when they were ranked number 4 in the country and before they had two ACL injuries that have changed their team a little bit. And we also had a 25-point win over Kansas Wesleyan. So, I think it'll be a great tournament. I think the GPAC will be well represented again, and there should be some other interesting games, particularly from the Sterling out of Kansas, the Indiana Conference with Bethel and Huntington and Taylor and those teams. They're always a strong conference, and now the Oregon Cascade Conference as well.
Coach, last question. This more concerning maybe you taking over for Tony Hobson and what Hastings has had tradition-wise. Your thoughts on the first year, and is it relief that you continued the tradition? Did you see it coming? I guess just kind of your thoughts on the first year here at Hastings.
Well, I think, the biggest thing is that we've been able to pretty much implement the system this year. And while there were some tough times in that, we started off strong. We were 9-0 to begin with. Then we went through a stretch where, in this conference, in a 10-day period, we played number 1 in the country, number 4, number 7, number 9, and number 14. And, that's just a 10-day period in the GPAC. And I know we have, 7 losses, which is probably makes a few of the Hastings fans think that we're having a down year. But I like the fact that we've always been competitive with everyone we've played this season. In those losses, we have a 1-point loss, we have 3 2-point losses, a 5-point, and a 6-point loss. So other than Mount Marty at the beginning of the year, we've never had anybody just really take it to us. And so I think we've gotten a lot of experience at playing closer ball games. I think we're executing now better. That happens when you get the opportunities to play those kinds of games over and over. And I think some good things, will happen in the national tournament as a result of playing that schedule this year.
Well, Jeff, we wish you and the team the best of luck. We'll let you get on the road. Safe travels up to Sioux City, and hopefully we can talk again next week with the team still playing.
That sounds great. Thank you.
That's Coach Jeff Dittman. Thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they put the sled underneath the old van and head up towards Sioux City. Chris, I think Coach, they always sound confident, but I think he has a reason to be some confident there. I think anybody out of this GPAC conference, when they play outside the GPAC, they feel like they're going to win the ballgame.
And you look at that conference, like you said, in a 10-day period, they're playing top 15 teams, every single night, and that kind of competition can only help you as you get ready for a postseason tournament.
Well, we'll have to see how things pan out. You'll be able to hear all the games for Hastings College on our sister station, 1230 AM KHAS, World Wide Web, HastingsLink.com. So that's tomorrow. Pregame at 1:30, tip-off at 1:45. If they win, they play again on Friday, as we said, most likely against one of the unbeaten teams left in the country in the NAIA. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk boys basketball. Dave Morachik from Minden right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris Baznett from the Kearney Hub in for the Big Daddy.
That's You're right. Listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
Hello, I'm Arlen Gangwish, owner of Laser Tech of Nebraska. With the changing opportunities in document technology, Xerox and HP have enabled us to bring to you the most cutting-edge solutions available. We pride ourselves in putting the customer first, no matter what the need. Being a Xerox and an HP business partner, we have all the resources to bring you big savings. Give us a call and let us begin showing you the money.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Mostly lingering cloud cover and some flurries and snow showers affecting the area today, with any snow accumulations confined to a coating. Temperatures will also stay fairly steady with northwest winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. There's a slight chance of some snow showers early tonight with a low near 7 above. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 10 above.
Jones, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Chris Baznett filling in for the big fella today, who would love to be going to lunch right now. That's what he would love to be doing on a day like this. Lunch always comes through, and whether it's a little salad or a big meal with pizza and chicken wings and ribs or steak, it's all there at the Chicken Coop, people. It's in downtown Kearney, downtown Grand Island. Relax with a game of Keno. Get your favorite lunch special, which they have every single day, open 7 days a week. Great food and drink specials every night, and of course, with their high-definition televisions all over the place, there's not a bad seat in the house. Watch the NCAA basketball tournament March Madness as the top college teams battle for the NCAA title. And with a ton of games going on, you'll be able to catch them all at the Chicken Coop. And, of course, you can't get there without going through your conference tournament, and that's what's coming up this week. So check it all out. All the games are there, plus Major League Baseball is underway. Golf tournaments are going on. The women's tournaments are going on. Whatever it is you want to watch, they'll get it up for you, and they're going to do it with great pizza like the Drunk Italian, the pepper jackaroni, or if you just, you know, you want a hamburger pizza, they'll do it for you, Baz.
That's right. They'll do it. There's no reason to ever leave the Chicken Coop.
You love except sometimes it's 1 o'clock and they say, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And say, oh, so good. So good. Keep the tap. Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Check them out for lunch today. Well, we've been talking basketball and we're going to continue to do that as we are joined now on the Doug and Daddy Show by the head coach of the Minden Whippets, Dave Morachik, whose team I think is in an unusual spot as a lot of teams. We have such a long break, especially if you don't win districts. But even if you do, you're going to have a week and a half off, which is the longest layoff of the season. And Coach Morachik's Whippets are headed back to the C1 tournament to take on Bennington. And Coach joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you. I guess it doesn't matter how you get there. The second straight year is a wild card, but when the defending state champion and probably the best team in the class is in your sub-district, you knew all along you were going to have to put together some quality wins throughout the season to even have a chance to get down to Lincoln, and you guys did that.
Yes, that's the good part about having the wild card system in place. If you have a good schedule, like a good C1 Class B schedule, that good things can happen to you if you take care of business on your regular season. And then when you know you have a defending state champion and a very good Grand Island Central Catholic team and a very, very good St. Paul team in your sub-district as well, you know you still have a chance to make it down the link by playing very hard throughout the year.
Coach, you just talked about good teams like St. Cecilia and Central Catholic and St. Paul. Looking at this C1 tournament, it's obviously very balanced with teams like Chadron and St. Cecilia again and your guys and Bennington. Just talk about, I guess, the overall depth of this bracket.
Oh, C1 is by far one of the toughest brackets around, and we were fortunate to get to state via the wild card because, you know, there is three or four teams like Norfolk Catholic, St. Paul, Grand Island Central Catholic, Battle Creek, you know, that are all left at home with very good records. And, you know, our schedule just happened to be where we won a few games that we did by 1 or 2 points that helped us get into state. And our boys feel very fortunate to be playing in that kind of field. You know, the field itself, you know, with the eight teams that are down there are just tremendous, you know, and there's very good teams down there, and there's some teams like Minden and North Bend Central and Boys Town and Pierce that are going to try to upset the Benningtons, the St. Cecilias, and the Chadrons of the C1 bracket.
We're chatting with Minden head boys basketball coach Dave Morachik. They will play 8:45 Thursday night at Pershing Auditorium. You'll hear it on Power 99, taking on Bennington. Your top scorer and the guy that a lot of people look to shut down is Gavin Bloom, and one of the reasons is he's kind of sprouted out, listed at 6'7", but Bennington is going to be able to throw some height at him. Talk about that particular matchup.
Yeah, Bennington comes in with a 6'9 kid, and they have a 6'7 kid in the name of Higgins, who has a scholarship to South Dakota University already, and they have the coach's son, Denver Kloss, who Higgins and Kloss both were C1 All-State teams last year, and for them to lead St. Cecilia most of the game last year and then end up getting beat in the final 2 minutes in the C1 finals, you know, speaks a lot for itself. This was supposed to be their year. Last year was kind of a surprise, but this year was supposed to be their year where they're all seniors this year, and they are very senior-dominated, and they're very well-schooled, and they just play very hard-nosed defense, and they're on a mission. And when they got beat in the sub-districts by Boys Town on the last-second shot, you could tell on the tapes that I've seen that they were very disappointed, and they had hopes that they would get in on a wild card just like we did. And when me and Coach Klaus both talked, we were both very fortunate to say that we got in via the wild card to play in the C1 field. Excuse me.
Dave Morachik joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready to take on Bennington. Coach, where do you see your advantage, I guess, in this basketball game?
Well, you know, we're going to try to do some different things against them that maybe they haven't seen before. You know, play some triangle and two and maybe some box and one against them. But anytime you're playing against a good team, you got to try to go to your strength. And our strength has been our defense this year. And if we can keep the game in the 50s, in the high 40s, and the low 50s, we think we have a chance against these guys because they are very phenomenal on the offensive end as well. And we're going to just try to slow them down a little bit and see that, you know, that our defense could maybe make a difference against their offense.
Coach, are you worried at all about having the long layoff? Obviously, you had the loss in sub-districts. You've been doing nothing but practicing for the last couple of weeks. Is that something that concerns you going into this game?
No, that's kind of helped us a little bit because after we got beat by St. Paul, you know, they kind of really took it to us. And, you know, we had that kind of a sour taste in our mouth. Last year when we played St. Cecilia twice, you know, we played up to within 10 and 12 points both times. And, you know, even though we got beat by them, we walked away feeling pretty good about our chances and how we played.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Called Vietnam Week, where we just went to war against each other and really tried to really battle to try to get better.
Well, Dave, we'll let you get out of here with this last thought. As I look up and down the schedule that you have played, you've seen, as you've mentioned, a variety of great basketball teams. I think one out of Central Catholic, you know, you're seeing Ainsworth and Valentine. Most of the close games you have won. You haven't had a ton of close games, and the only one it looks like that was the Valentine Conference Final that you dropped. What were you able to do in the fourth quarter of those close games that presumably you're probably going to have to do Thursday?
I think it was just our man-to-man defense, Doug. In years past, we've been primarily a zone team and tried to do some things with the zone press and stuff like that. But our man-to-man defense has really stepped up and really got in the face in the fourth quarter on some of the teams that we played. And granted, we got lucky a few times. You know, anytime when we're playing Ravana and all of a sudden they miss their last eight shots of the game, you got to feel pretty darn lucky that Connor Baronic and Adam Mingus didn't knock down one of those shots, you know. And I feel fortunate that we won a few of those games late in the year by just playing very good defense and holding a team to their last second shots like that.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck. We'll look forward to seeing you down in Lincoln. And, again, great job again, 18-3, and hopefully 19 and 20, and who knows, maybe 21.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it. You guys do a great job, and thanks for covering us this year.
You bet, Dave. Dave Morachik, head boys basketball coach, joining us from the Minden Whippets again, 8:45 against Bennington. Baz, you've seen Minden. I've seen Minden. It seemed like when a team locks them down, they lock them down. And if they don't lock them down, and Minden can control what's going on, mm-hmm. they really love the way that they play. They play. That's why there haven't been a lot of close games. When somebody gets their number, it's a 15-point game. Mm-hmm. If they can't get their number, Minden's able to use all their weapons.
That's right, and that's going to be the key. I think Thursday they've got to control the tempo. I think they have to have a good start. They have to come out, and I think they're going to have to shoot from the outside very well. They've got to hit a few jumpers. We saw them do that against St. Paul in the Heartland Hoops Classic. They hit a few outside shots. It opened things up inside for Gavin Bloom in the second half. They're going to have to find a way to get him free and at least get some kind of production out of him, and then hopefully their guards can outscore Bennington's guards. I think that's going to be the key for Minden.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Chris Baznett filling in for Big Daddy today. We need to take a break, and we're going to have Stu Pospisil, presumably, on the other side of this break.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Marketing is everything that touches your customer. Working as a contracted marketing team, Apex Advertising will use tested and proven marketing strategies to reach your business goals. We will save you time and money while increasing your marketing confidence and success. Call today for your free customized plan. Call 308-698-1185. Apex Advertising of Kearney, 698-1185. Increasing marketing results, not budgets.
When it's an occasion that matters, call the event specialists at Country Catering. Delicious, beautifully presented food, professionally served. From black tie formal affairs to a simple picnic party, we'll work with you to make your event a wonderful memory. Create your own menu for a sit-down dinner or assemble an appetizer buffet line. We can serve any group from 25 to 1500. Country Catering promises to make your special day the best it can be. For your next event, call Country Catering of Litchfield or go to www.countrycatering.net. We cater to you.
Get a big deal at the Get Out and Ride event going on this week only at Kearney Yamaha. Hundreds of parts, accessories, and apparel marked down like never before. And if the deals weren't hot enough already, the guys at Kearney Yamaha are donating a portion of the great deals you'll get on apparel and accessories purchases this week to the Kearney Area Children's Museum Annual Fun Drive. Buy leather jackets, chaps, and vests for a low $25. Already have your riding apparel? Then check out the huge selection of bags and luggage priced at 70% off. 40% has been knocked off select bolt-on accessories, and they've got motocross gear priced way below list price. They've even got t-shirts for just $1. Cash in on the incredible savings this week on accessories and apparel and help out the Kearney Area Children's Museum Annual Fun Drive. That's right, a portion of every purchase from this sale will be donated to the Kids Zone Kearney Area Children's Museum. It's the Get Out and Ride event this week only at Kearney Yamaha. Open weekdays 9 to 6, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and noon to 5 on Sundays. Sale ends Saturday only at Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Mostly lingering cloud cover and some flurries and snow showers affecting the area today, with any snow accumulations confined to a coating. Temperatures will also stay fairly steady with northwest winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. There's a slight chance of some snow showers early tonight with a low near 7 above. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 10 above.
Here in the studio.
That's right. You know, we were going to just keep dancing and all that kind of stuff. But little MC, too legit to quit. So is Stu Pospisil, who didn't even take a day off from the Omaha World Herald prep sports editor, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Minus the daddy, because Tony says, hey, I'm going to be gone. Why don't you get Stu on the show? Stu, good morning.
Morning. No daddy today?
No. They sent him to some actual work today, like school. So Chris Baznett from the Kearney World Herald is here.
Oh, that's good. Hey, I like the redesign out there. I think it looks really nice.
Well, thank you, Stu. We appreciate that.
I think it's hard to read, but I wear glasses.
Well, you know, something about glasses and passes and things like
hey,
that.
Hey, whoa, hey. Stuart, boys basketball tournament gets underway on Thursday, and we've had you on from time to time throughout the season. We already know that you are fired up about the C1 bracket. We just talked with Minden coach Dave Morachik. All right, be honest. Can Minden beat Bennington?
Yes.
And how can they do it?
Well, I think that they have to definitely slow the pace down. I think that Gavin Blum has to do quite well against Bainton 6'8", Ben Sowers, who Bainton, to me, guys, has not really improved that much the second half of the season. Now, maybe they kick it in like they did last year at State and, you know, make a run. But I think Minden is capable of winning this ball game.
I guess, Stu, you look at some of the other brackets. What's, I guess, outside of C1, which is obviously probably the most competitive bracket, what are some of the
and other? A. Outside of C1 and A, who else do you like, Stu?
What else do you like outside of C1?
Well, I love and hate the D2 matchup between Hampton and Ewing, because you've got Jerry Eichhoff, who is in his final season, takes a very good Hampton team to State, and for, you know, having a 21-2 record, whatever he has to draw, Ewing in the first round, which is the top team in D2, trying for the grand slam of football, volleyball, boys and girls basketball, and has one of the top athletes in the state, regardless of class, and Austin Katzer. You know, that, you know, Eichhoff's going to try and find a way to win that ball game with defense and trying to shut Austin down. But, you know, doggone, he deserved a better break than that in his last tournament.
Yeah, that's a tough break. I guess moving up a bracket to D1, you got Arapahoe as the one seed. Maybe a lot of people out east haven't maybe seen them play. What are your thoughts on their chances in the D1 bracket?
Well, I think they rate a very strong chance, you know, with Ivan. Is it Simic or Simic?
It's Ivan Simic.
Yvonne, okay. Yvonne has had a heck of a year for them. Yeah. Coming in as an exchange student really boosted Bob Braithwaite's team, not that they weren't going to be good already. But, you know, I think in the East, Bruning Davenport moved to number one when Arapahoe suffered its first loss, and I'd like to see that game come off. I think that's a good matchup.
Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. In C2, you've got two defending champions meeting in the first round and the number one seed on that same side of the bracket. The two teams from our area, Axtell and Ravenna, people are kind of scratching their heads. I guess my thought on the whole thing, Stu, is, and by God, we're out here in the West, and I'm still going to take a shot at Sutherland. They're the farthest West team. You expect that they're going to be the weakest, so Ravenna looks good. Then you got Axtell, and Axtell just got it handed to him by Ravenna in the sub-districts. It looks real good for Ravenna. Now I go around and say, turn around and say that, and who knows what will happen. It looks, which side of the bracket's tougher here, do you think?
Boy, I still think that upper half, you've got, like you said, the match of the returning champions, C2 and D1. And I don't rule out Harrington Cedar Catholic, which is you know, kind of taken its lumps in the Mid-State Conference, which has produced Pierce, and Norfolk Catholic had like an 18-3 season, doesn't get to go to state because seat one's that tough. Freeman is saying they're at number one with one loss, but you got to question their schedule a little bit. The caveat there is that Freeman did beat Elwood Murdoch pretty soundly. So, you know, if you get past that first game, you know, can Freeman get past a returning champion? And then on the other side, I kind of like Ravenna. I think Paul Baranek knows how to coach at state and, you know, has his team on a roll. They lost a couple games in February when they were playing just a horrible streak of games against ranked teams. So, they weren't penalized much, and they, took care of Bergen. And Bergen hasn't lost since, by the way. And I think that's an intriguing bracket all the way through.
Stu, overall, you like to talk a little Class A, and it, of course, it is as wide open as it's ever maybe been at the state tournament. Who are you giving the nod to?
I haven't figured that out, guys. I'm dead serious.
I'm still going to buy the paper. Come on.
I'm dead serious. I mean, I'm writing my column this afternoon for tomorrow, and I may wear out, a two-headed coin or something like that. And I just don't know. I mean, you can imagine almost any scenario. Almost every team has a chance to come through. Even Norfolk. Remember, Norfolk lost in overtime to Southeast. So it's not like that's an insurmountable game for the Panthers. And you've got rematch of the regular season, rematch, and the rematch from last year with Prep and Lincoln High, where Lincoln High took out number one Prep last year, and this year the Scout would be at number two. So, I mean, it's going to be purely a guess. I will tell you that my wife, Sherry, has put together her bracket, and it looks pretty dang good. I may have to copy. And she has Southeast over Southwest in the final. And that's a very distinct possibility. If Southwest gets past Bellevue West, which has one of the best tournament coaches of all time, and Doug Woodard, with maybe not one of his better teams, but they knocked off Central to get here, and Southwest being a rookie at state, anything can happen, and at 9 a.m., it has happened in the past.
Well, at least Southeast would have a chance to have one basketball champion.
Ho!
Oh, hey!
Oh.
Whoa! Hello. Quick thought on B. Is there any way it's not Ralston Beatrice?
Scott's Bluff.
Well, is there any way it's not Ralston Beatrice?
They're the great unknown because they won the GNAC. They beat Norfolk at Norfolk, and Norfolk's here in the Class A tourney. I don't know if they can get past Scott, to be honest, but if they get past Scott, can they beat Beatrice? If, Beatrice takes care of Waverly, and I think they will. Scottsbluff, Beatrice maybe could be for the state title. If Beatrice gets to the final, I'd like them over Ralston.
Well, it should be a great field. Any last thoughts, I guess? We talked teams. Real quick, Stu, who's going to be a couple of the players that people need to watch if they're just saying, hey, I want to go watch two of the best players in the state?
Well, I think Elliot Eliason, the 6'11 player from Shadron, is very good. I like Hastings St. Cecilia's backcourt. Their guards are awfully good as a tandem. Isaiah Gandy from Boys Town, you talk about C1 again. He's a very exciting point guard, and he's learned to work with a whole set of new teammates, and they with him, and that's why they're on a roll, and maybe can avenge the loss to Pierce from the last time they were there.
Big Daddy will be coming down to the state tournament. Any words? Is there any chance? Is there any chance his C2 record could go down this year?
I don't think so, but we can always hope.
we're gonna have to start making a concerted effort about that record falling because it's been in the book way too long. Hey, Stuart, we will see you in Lincoln on Thursday. We always appreciate the time, and should be a great boys' state tournament as always.
It's going to be 3 days of unpredictability. That's all I can tell you.
On and off the course. Stu Pospisil, press sports editor from the Omaha World Herald. Thanks for the time, Stu.
You're welcome. See you guys.
Thanks, Stu.
Well, just there's going to be some great basketball. And I guess I look at that, and we don't have Class B teams for the most part around here. McCook winning the district that had our Class B teams around here, like your Holdridge, your Adams Central, your Northwest. Stu's right. Scotts Bluff's the great unknown. I look at the rest of that and go, Scott's in with a losing record, and they're not even the eight seed.
Yeah.
So say what you want, but I look at that whole thing, I'm going, it's going to be Ralston and then Beatrice. Yeah, it'd be nice if it's Scott. There's no way Ralston's not getting to the final, right?
You would think so, but who knows? Ralston can't even beat Hastings St. Cecilia, you know, a piddly little C1 team.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, I'd like to see Scott's Bluff get there as someone who lives out here in central Nebraska and kind of roots for the teams in central and western Nebraska. So you never know. You look at Class B, it's probably, I guess you could say, a down year outside of Ralston, because I think you could take a lot of those C1 teams, throw them in the B bracket, and they do just fine, but... You know, who knows? You're probably right. It's probably Ralston Beatrice, but like Stu said, who the heck knows? We have no idea.
The Nebraska men's basketball team will be getting ready for their Big 12, and they'll be playing at this time tomorrow. What are your thoughts?
They got Baylor in the first round. It's a rematch. It's on neutral court. They beat Baylor on the road, you know. Again, who knows?
Well, you know what? Everybody's been harping on me about how I said Nebraska's not going to the tournament, and I'm surprised that they went 8-8 by a little bit there. But I actually have a good feeling.
You know,
I think, and by that good feeling, Bass, I mean not just beating Baylor. I think they can give Kansas everything they want. A Kansas team that's not going to be playing in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get up and play that 11:30 game the next day. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska will have one under their belt. And Nebraska hasn't actually gotten just killed by Kansas this year. And Kansas has to be feeling pretty good about themselves. They're living up over the hype.
Yeah, and I think I read in the World Herald yesterday, if you're in Nebraska, you've got to be thrilled with the draw you got. You get a Baylor team right away. You get Kansas right away in the morning. You've played everybody in the conference tough for the most part. If you can find a way to get hot, if you can find a way to shoot the ball for 3-4 games, put a stretch together, who knows? They could definitely make a run. I agree with you.
By the way, the Texas A&M shot at the horn, it's like one of the Pontiac game-changing performances of the year.
Oh, God.
You think that changed the game?
No.
Hey, before we get out of here, I want to let you know that there will be an organizational meeting tonight for Kearney American Legion Baseball, grades 9 through 12. If you're interested, runs at Little Caesars, post 52, 5 points. It's at the Kearney Math Area, 7 o'clock tonight. Parents are encouraged to attend. We had a jam-packed show today. Want to thank Keith Crow, Silver Lake girls coach, Dave Morachik, Minden boys coach, Jeff Dittman, the head girls, head women's basketball coach at Hastings College as they head to the NAIA National Tournament. And, of course, Stu Pospisil, the prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Jeff Grubtill up around Broken Bow because the Kearney Bike Show and Swap Meet is going to be coming up this weekend at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets to that the rest of the week. This is the biggest one in central Nebraska and this part of the country, so we're going to talk about that. Also, Carol Russell, UNK women's basketball coach, as they get ready for the NCAAs, and we're going to be talking with more area boys basketball coaches as they get ready to head to state. Chris Basnett, thanks for joining me today.
As always, buddy. A pleasure.
You want to come back tomorrow?
Why not?
Chris Basnett back tomorrow. It's official. Woo! People, Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!